All right, at this time, the recording has begun. Can you all still hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Just as a reminder, I will be leaving all the lines unmuted, but if you would manually mute your phone, and if you have questions at any time, feel free to unmute your phone and ask questions as we go, as I go through the presentation. So at this time, again, all lines are unmuted, but if you would manually mute your phone and can unmute at any time. Just like to say good evening and welcome to Master Builders Logistics Training weekly call held every Wednesday from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. Each call session is a progressive step toward the next in building and or maintaining your family businesses. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's session. If you're attending tonight for the first time, there's no need to worry about having to catch up from previous sessions. You will be able to review previous recorded sessions. However, I will share some brief summaries of a few of the past sessions as well. A quick disclaimer, this is not an offer for sale or any securities. Participation in this program must be of active participation only, and any others non-active will be prohibited from participating in any of the services offered. Your success is totally dependent on your own efforts. No parties of MBL are responsible for your success or your failure. Availability will be based on your scheduling and ongoing construction administration by you and your family business. There are no required fees for the training class of Master Builders Logistics Training. We do suggest that you seek the advice of an attorney for legal advice or an accountant for any accounting matters for your business. We are not in the legal or the accounting business. We are only here to assist you in getting your businesses up and running and or maintaining an already established business. Our goal is to be able to help you find resources to assist you in any ways possible. Also, we're here to build a community of others who either are going through this journey with you or have gone through the process in some aspect or another. So our whole basis behind this is to continue the family unit afterwards so we can assist each other in helping each other along the way. The purpose behind Master Builders Logistics was created to assist family members of men and women who are currently incarcerated or who have been incarcerated in assisting them in helping them establish a business or a job for them when they are released from the justice system. Many of you who are attending the call or who have attended the call have a family member who has been attending class with Mr. James Webb, currently at Butner Federal Medical Center, where they're learning the same tools and resources that we're sharing on these weekly calls. Your loved one may have reached out to you for assistance in starting a family business or maintaining a family business with the resources and the tools that they've been receiving. So again, our job here on the Master Builders Logistics call is to be able to bridge over the same lessons and resources that they're receiving to you on a more specific layman's term level so that you would be able to go forward and do what's necessary to be able to build your business. So with that said, we hope that everyone so far have had a good journey in everything that we've shared with you. Just to reemphasize, the mission behind your family business or being able to build this type of real estate construction business is twofold. Number one is to be able to help individuals within your community or, just like I stated, recently incarcerated and released, be able to allow them an opportunity or a job, a place of employment. So to be able to employ those who may not otherwise be able to get a normal 8-to-5 job in corporate America or the, you know, certain jobs. However, you are here to be able to allow these individuals to be able to put them to work. So that's the first fold of our mission and what we're trying to establish. The second is to be able to rebuild inner city communities, one house at a time, basically. So with the resources that you're receiving, you're learning how to start your business or maintain a business. You're learning how to be able to acquire or hire first-tier workers who will be the key and the resource, the basis of your business, to be able to take those individuals and make crews that will be able to go forward and help you maintain your business by contracting with builders or realtors or private homeowners from every facet of construction and real estate, from just painting to building subdivisions. So that's the goal, is to be in that spectrum somewhere. Where you choose to grow your business is totally up to you. If you want to stay right there on the very base end of just having a painting crew that goes out and do painting, then that's totally up to you. If you want to continue to grow in this and get to that place where you're building subdivisions, again, that's totally up to you. The basis of what you do with your family business is totally up to you. Again, the success or failure is on you, but we're here to share with you the resources and the tools. Everything that I've shared with you so far on the previous sessions and I'm sharing with you tonight is basically, again, it's a bridge of lessons that have been shared with in Mr. Webb's classes he's currently teaching and those that he taught in the past. This process that we're working toward is a model that he's used over 30-something years in his, this was his livelihood. This is what he did. Real estate was his bread and butter. So everything that I'm sharing is basically given to us from him as a model for you to build upon. So there's certain things that may not work for you that may work for someone else, because it's all dependent on the area or the state or county, cities that you may live in. There may be different things that are going on at different times. We all live in different climates. So when it's, you know, North Carolina, we can work all year. If you're upstate New York and it's snowing, then your family business may be a little slower. So again, everything that we're sharing will help you in one facet or another with your family business. However, it may not work the same way for you as it works for me, but the template is there to build upon. So that's why I stated earlier that we want to be able to bridge a family unit from this so that you can be able to reach back out to either in the call or by email or by text and build relationships with others who may be on the call, that you may be able to share something that happened as far as your business that was successful. You also may be able to share things that was not so successful, that you just need some pointers on how do I do it differently, what can I do, what could have been said differently. And again, what worked for me may not work for you, but I can share with you how it worked for me, and you may be able to get pointers from that to help you tweak your process. So again, it's all about building and networking and growing our family businesses to the level of success that we choose. The goal is totally up to you, totally up to us individually. So just to share or dab back into a couple things that we've shared previously, everywhere from the first call about the mission behind and the basis behind Master Builders Logistics classes and calls to being able to contract and go out and bid for jobs. Well, initially when we talked, we talked about establishing your business, making that business its own entity and not just Terry, not just my social, but having that business stand alone, being able to establish that business. Well, by now, the majority of you on the call who have attended the call have already set up your businesses, established your business, and it's up and established. The next phase we went to was actually going out, building an ad to be able to acquire your first-tier workers. That information was shared, you know, in the call and also was emailed back out to you to build your ads. at that time. Hopefully you took advantage of that and you submitted your ads online electronically, or you did a flyer church announcement. Again, there was various ways that you could do it just to get the word out that, hey, my business, my family business is here and we're looking for workers. That was the whole basis of building the ad, publishing the ad, printing the ad, getting it out there into the public hands so that workers know where you are. Because your first year workers, as we stated previously, are looking for work. These are skilled laborers who have those skill sets and they're ready to work. They're not ones who are going to go out and search want ads or go door to door and asking, do you need my service? But your ads are there and they see that and they're ready to work, then they're coming to you. So that was part of establishing that first-tier worker, getting those ads and getting those responses back. With that, you should have been receiving responses to your ads from these individuals. And as you receive those, being able to log those or gather those into some type of database, whether it's a spreadsheet, whether it's a Microsoft Access database, whether it was a sticky note, whether it was printing those documents off and gathering that information, but something that you could see at an eye level where you knew exactly the individuals who had applied for the jobs that you had, for the job you had posted. So being able to look at them and categorize those by their skill set, being able to understand that I have 5 painters, 10 framers, you know, but whatever the skill set was, being able to understand or see exactly what you had in front of you. Also from that, there were some additional questions that were submitted that was emailed back out to you, showing you how to further qualify those individuals who had responded. And that further qualifying was just basically just to make sure I know that if I have a painter, I can drill him on certain questions just to know that he's a painter. If I have someone who says that he's a framer, I have additional questions I can ask just to get a feel for whether or not he is who he says he is. 9 times out of 10, when they reply, you're going to get exactly who they say they are. There will be some who's just looking for a chance to work, so they're going to beef up their responses, you know, a little bit more. So they may not be the skilled person that they say they are. But the qualifying questions basically helps you identify exactly who you're talking with to a certain extent. From that, you're able to understand that, okay, I have a total of 50 applicants and I've qualified 45 of them. Those 45 that I've qualified, now I need to determine, based on the 45 that I say are now part of my crew, they will determine what kind of jobs that I can actually go bid for. I know a lot of this information I'm saying may be redundant from the previous, but that's good because the more you hear it, the better it sounds, the better you'll get used to it. So I don't apologize for the redundancy of previous calls and me building on it on tonight, because tonight we're going to take it to another level. I just want to be able to build these steps for you so you can actually bridge everything back together. So understanding exactly the crew that I've built, the laborers who I've said, okay, these guys qualify, now I can determine what kind of job I'm going to bid for. And when you're bidding for jobs, again, you would not want to find the job or find a realtor, a builder, a private homeowner, anyone that has anything to do with housing of any kind. You wouldn't want to go to that person and knowing that they're looking for someone to come and do a job. For example, let's say that there's a realtor who needs a plumbing crew. Now, we place the ad for construction workers. So we would probably not have any plumbers, electricians within our skill sets. So if this realtor or this company, if this builder is looking for a plumber, that might not be the job that you're going to bid for. I know that was probably a little far-fetched, but just wanted to kind of allow you to understand that the job that you're bidding for is going to be based on the skill sets that you have established with the crews that you have. So, again, feel free, go back and listen to the previous calls. Feel free to email me or text me or call me, and we can talk through the basis of the things that I've stated or the basis of the things that we built upon up until this point. So right now, before I move forward, I know I've been talking a little bit for a while, And again, this is all previous information that has been shared, but are there any questions or concerns at this time from anyone you wanted, that you would like to say, whether you've gone through those processes and you had success or you've had not so much success? We won't say failure, we'll just say not so much success. You have questions about something you did and a response you received. Any questions at all or any comments from anyone on the call? Feel free to speak up at this time.
Hi, Terry. It's Tanika.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I just wanted to chime in. I was considering speaking about this, but I didn't know. But, you know, I've been on board since the beginning, and I've had a really, really big return on calls and leads for workers. I've qualified at least a handful of people. I kind of plateaued over this last 2 weeks. I got a call from a prospective worker who reacted poorly to me because I had background noise. I have my kids in the background. I have 5 kids, but I have my kids in the background, and you know, it just wasn't professional. And I assured him I was taking calls from home and just doing the qualifying. And I got a, I don't know. After that, I stopped taking calls anytime that there's background noise. But with 5 kids, I always have background noise. So today, I'm just now really getting back in, and I qualified a roofer today. So
okay,
that's my spiel. But I've had success as long as I put the effort behind it.
Okay. And that last statement was very good, very, very beneficial as well, because the effort, like I stated earlier, your success or your failure or your less success is all dependent on the effort you put in it. And also, even if you put the effort in and it doesn't turn out like you were expecting, do not call it a failure again. There's a chance to learn from it to move forward, just like what you just stated about answering the calls in the background noise. Well, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm a mom, I'm a mother, I am a wife, I'm a, you know, a worker, and there's other things that are going on in my life. So unless you're able to lock yourself away in the dungeon and make these calls, you're going to have that. You may have that mishap sometimes. So with that, it's a learning experience. Then you choose the change. You know, you choose the times that you want to make those calls. You know, because again, you know what your home task, daily tasks are, and you just allow yourself that opportunity to be in that position where you can get to a quieter place. Again, it's not going to always be quiet. I mean, I have a 14-year-old, and sometimes he acts like he's, you know, there's like 5 of him, so he can be loud at times. So, again, it's a learning experience as we're going through this, because that's why I call it a journey, because there's no perfection for what the world would say or what others would say looking in. This is your business. This is yours. So you build it and you groom it and you shape it accordingly. So in the event you have, you know, like you said, that happens, we're multitasking at all times. So we learn from it and we move forward. So like you stated, you have had success, and it's been dependent on the efforts that you put into it. There will be times when you get to the point where you feel like you're not getting any success or any responses or anything to go your way with this, and you will have to take a step back. Like I stated earlier, the goal that you set is totally up to you how you set it. I am not one to say that you have to start this business on Monday and by the end of the month you've got to have 20 bid jobs that you're working towards. That's not the goal, because again, I would be to the point where I would have to quit everything if I'm put under pressure on top of other tasks and things that I'm doing. So pace yourself. So if you get to the place where you're overwhelmed and it feels like, you know, the walls are caving in with this business, your family business, I can't stress it enough, this is yours. This is the one thing, the one job business that you're not reporting to anybody else on anybody else's deadline until you decide. because the critical part of deadlines happens when you're contracting with these builders, these realtors, these homeowners, because they have times that they're looking for you to turn around things. That's when your crunch time comes. But when it comes to building your business and establishing when you want to do what you want to do, take your time. If you have to take a step back and put everything off for a week, come back to the drawing board, do that. But do not push yourself to the point of breaking to establish this, because this should be something that you enjoy. And if you don't enjoy it, that's anything, let it go. So I can't stress that enough, because again, the majority of you all on the call are women, and women as moms, wives, sisters, you know, we wear a lot of hats anyway. And being able to put ourselves in a position to build this business, and again, I don't just want to leave the men out, but men and women alike, we all wear a lot of titles. Let me just back that up and say that. So to be able to set aside time for your business to where it's at your own pace. So if I can't stress it enough, this is your own pace, because it's Y-O-U-R, your business, your family. So you're basically bringing this into everything else you've got going on. So pace yourself. And like I said, I'm always here. Text me, call me, and just say, hey, I just need somebody to talk to. I'm here. And that's what I want us to be able to build from this. Networking with others, being able to hear the success, hear the things that didn't seem to go right, hear the things that went wrong, and talk about it so others can help you establish that. But, Tanika, I'm thank you for speaking up, like, with what you shared about that, because again, that's just something that happens in our daily life, and we learn from it and we move forward. So I appreciate you for sharing that. Anyone else on the call want to share part of your journey? Okay. All right. Well, the basis of tonight's call is to take you again to another level. I spoke briefly about this last week when you're at the place where you qualified your workers, you have your crews, and they're ready. They're waiting on you to give them the call that you've got something for them to do. They're ready. Then you have to go and you have to establish the jobs or the projects that they're going to be working on. In doing that, part of what I shared last week was being able to know when these realtors, builders, personal homeowners, being able to know when they need you. And it's a timing game. It's a timing game, but it goes back to what was just stated about effort. You have to be able to be on top of it and understand what it is you're looking for and when those things need to happen. Because with construction has several phases, which are from the basis of being able to, of having painting done to actually creating subdivisions. And I always use that large spectrum because there's so much in between. And I use the example as if you drive by a house that's being built. And before I was introduced to this class and to this knowledge, you know, naive, I said, oh, that house is being built. Then there's one crew that's doing all of the phases of that house. Well, that's a misconception, because that is not true. Every phase of that house being built is being done by multiple crews. And it all depends on the builder, the general contractor, as to whether or not he already has crews successfully contracted for each one of those phases. 9 times out of 10, he does not. He's actually contracting getting those crews as the next phase becomes needed. So unless he's a builder who has crews already, you know, established and working for him, and he just already has them scheduled out like that, then, you know, there's one in a million of those. Otherwise, he is actually building or contracting every stage of that house. Well, what do you mean by the stages of the house? Well, basically, if you drive by a lot that has a sign that house for sale, or it's a new subdivision, and there's a sign subdivision coming soon. Well, when you drive by and it says coming soon, basically what you're seeing is trees and woods and stuff and everything. Nothing's been cleared off. Well, there will be some properties that you'll pass by that will be just like that. It needs to be cleared off. You'll see the sign, but it's all woods and trees and debris. Well, the very first phase of that is someone has to go in and remove all those trees and get that land cleared off so they can begin to break ground and start the next phases. Well, that's a phase. That's actually something that's needed. That builder's going to need somebody to go in and do that. Well, let's say you drove by that same property. Now the trees have been cleared and the lot is clear, and they're actually going in and marking off the square footage of the house, where they're basically doing what's called the footing. The footing, when you see that, you'll see them. They've actually dug trenches into the, look like trenches into the ground. That's the footing. Well, a crew had to come in to do that. Okay, so if you drive by and now land is clear, they're doing footing, the very next stage that they're going to do is pour the foundation. Well, okay, the foundation needs to be poured. That's another crew. Next stage, after that foundation has been poured, they'll need framers to come in to put up what I like to call the skeleton of the house. And you see those, the wood goes up and it's just like open walls, the framing of the house. Well, that's just a few phases that we just stepped through just now. But each one of those phases was a different crew. 9 times out of 10, it's a different crew. If there's a crew that did it for, you know, excavation of the land, and they also did it for the footing, then that's one crew that did two jobs. And I shared that with you last week on one of the contracts that I was actually bidding for. I was bidding for one phase, and I got outbid it because somebody bid it for phase 1 and 2. Well, I say all that to say these are called critical stages, because in building of the house, the general contractor's job is to make sure that each one of those phases are done timely, because he has been given a schedule to work toward in having that house completed. So as soon as one phase is done, he's already got a crew contracted to move in to do that next job. So your job as the administrator of your construction crews and getting your labor force to work is to be able to drive by those properties and see those phases and be able to pick up the phone to call that builder and have a conversation with them and just ask to, you know, tell them you like to bid for this phase. I know I'm going through a lot. I will be sending back out an email. It's a drafted email that gives you a couple of these phases, and it also gives you a script that you could use that you can, again, it's a template, so you can use the wording from this script or add to it, take away from it, whatever works for you, depending on who you're talking to, what phase you're talking. Again, I'm going to send back out an email with the same information that I'm sharing now, but a little bit more detail. Long and short of it is you'll start recognizing the different phases. Let's back it up even further than that. Not even going out and driving by these sites. When you get off the call with me tonight, Google it. Just start Googling phases, construction phases of a residential home or a home being built. Just Google it. Look for a YouTube video, and you'll see different phases. You'll see some of the things that I've mentioned already. Once you hear the name and see what is actually being done, when you drive by those properties that are being built, you'll be like, oh, I know what they're doing. Oh, they're doing the footer. Oh, they're doing the foundation. And you'll become, and again, you don't have to take one class to be able to see and understand these things that I'm sharing with you. You just have to be knowledgeable of what phase is going on and what phase am I actually going to call the contract on. And again, that's one of the larger contracts you want to go for when it comes to construction phases of a house. But our goal is to be able to redevelop inner city communities where houses have been abandoned, houses are being boarded up. We want to be able to go in and fix those houses up. And until we have our nest egg set there to actually go and do that, we got to work toward building our own money to be able to do that. So that's why we're introducing going out to the builders or to real estate companies and being able to bid for certain phases of construction of a house. Same thing happens, same basis when it's on rent ready. With rent ready, I talked about this in a couple of other calls as well, you want to be able to be there when that realtor, when that private homeowner needs you. And you're like, well, how do I know when they need us? Well, what I've shared before, if there is a rental property and that rental property is now vacant because the tenants have just moved, that property has to be fixed for the next renters to come in. So there's certain things that has to be done. There's certain cleaning and painting and chalking and bulbs replaced, locks repaired. Those type of things have to be done before that next set of tenants come in. You want to be the one who goes into that realtor, that private homeowner, that real estate company, whoever is renting that home, and be able to be the ones to assist them when those renters leave. So, again, how do I find those properties? Several ways you can find those. If your county courthouse has a public notice of eviction, you can actually be able to identify if a recent eviction had happened within the last week or within the last couple of days or week and where that property is. And you may be able to identify who the owner of that property is. So if you see that there's a recent eviction that was just done yesterday and it's right around the corner from you, there's a property that's there that needs to be cleaned, painted, fixed up for the next set of tenants come in. If you've got a number of the owner who owns that property, guess what? You're making that phone call. I noticed you got a property that needs to be maintenance. Hey, I'm right here. My company's here. We'd like to come in and contract with you and get your property back ready. Again, it's a timing game. So being able to check for eviction notices, being able to identify that a property, you drive by house down the block from you and you see a moving van, and you know that's a rental home, they're moving out. Ding, ding, ding. That's the property that you want to call about. So, again, there's so many different ways that can be done. And I'm not even sharing all of those with you. So, like I stated, there may be others who have found or will be able to find other ways to find those rental properties where there's those who need maintenance done. Because if there's a private homeowner or if there's a older homeowner who has maybe two or three older houses and they probably at one time did their own maintenance and now they're older or they have children who have taken over the properties, they may not have anyone who does that work. You will find those, and I've mentioned before, who has five houses that they're renting and one of their tenants actually does the work to get the properties back up to par. But you may not find that. You may find someone who does not have a crew at all. The way a lot of people are purchasing homes and flipping homes and putting homes out there for getting rental income, they may have more homes than they have crews, or they have enough strength of their own to be able to take care of these properties. So they need us. They need you. It's just a matter of finding those individuals. So don't give up on if you make calls and you call 10 realty companies, you call 10 individual renters, and they all say no. Don't give up. Take a step back. Start the process all over again. You can go look at your local classifieds, finding properties that are for rent. And those properties are listed for rent have already been, you know, prepared for the next renters. So those aren't the properties that you are wanting to contract for, but you're wanting to know the person who's renting that property. So if you see listings in the paper, or you see listings on the bulletin board at the laundromat in the grocery store, and you find someone's name, you place a call. Hey, I noticed you have property that was for rent on Lane Street. Wanted to know if you have other properties. If so, I can be of assistance to you in getting those properties rent ready. That may lead into a conversation for further information. Well, I do have rental properties, but all of them are currently occupied. But I can take your name and number. Or if they say all of them are occupied, no, I don't have any available. Okay, well, you take my name and number. So again, it's a timing game. So being able to make yourself available, being able to find those rental properties that you are there when they need you. So on both ends of the spectrum, whether it's a rent-ready property or whether it's a new residential home being built, your job is to be there when they need you. Being able to reach out to them and being able to make that conversation with them when they need you, because it's a timing game. Because if I'm a general contractor and I'm building this home over here on the corner and I'm now putting in my roof, I don't need for you to call me and say, hey, do you need a framer? I'm already past that stage. But there's so many facets of building that home that you can be able to ask for. So once again, I will be sending out the email tonight when I send out the link to the recording for tonight that will share with you scripting for those different phases. And you can be able to take the script that's there and use it for basically any one of those phases. But just being able to identify what's going on in your community, down the street, around the corner, just becoming mindful of those type of things when it comes to real estate and homes and properties. And don't just start with individual family, individual homes. If there's a complex that has apartments and they, again, maybe they do or maybe they don't have a maintenance crew, but you just ask the question. I stated this on a previous call as well. If you have friends or family or coworkers who are renting from individuals or companies, oh, by the way, who do you rent from? You know, again, you don't have to tell them all your business. Well, I got a small business and I do this, da 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 da. You just want you to know who they rent from, because now you have a contact name and number. You have a company that you can call. So you're building a database just like you did with your laborers. You're building a database of companies or prospect contracts that you can have. So, again, don't get overwhelmed and don't get discouraged if you're making these calls and you're not making any headway getting a contract. What you will get one, it will turn around and it will come through. So the main part of tonight's call is just knowing those critical stages of whether it's a rental property or a new property being built, being able to understand what phase they're in or what phase they're getting ready to go in, that I can actually make a call and propose a bid for a contract. So homework for you. Again, I'll send the email out. Once you get the email, take a look at it, read through it. There will be some additional information in the email from Mr. Webb. So he sent a couple things, a couple notes in there as well. So just take a look at it. Hopefully you've received the other emails that I sent out from him. If there's questions or concern about those, please don't hesitate to email me back, text me or call me. If there's answers that I cannot answer, I will reach out to him to get answers for you. Again, there's been a lot of information that's been given to you, shared with you, so I don't expect you to be able to grab hold of everything and understand everything or be able to apply everything to you and your business. However, I would like the communication. Just reach back out to me, conversate with me, and let's just talk it through together. Also, homework, go out on the internet, Google, you know, the phases of building a home so you can understand the some of the things that are going to be in the email that you receive and the different phases that I've discussed tonight, being able to know what the footing looks like, being able to know what the framing looks like, and also being able to know what happens in those phases, because the labor force that you've qualified, they do this on a day-to-day. This is what they do. Understand that what they do when they go out, what they're actually doing when they have to go in and do these jobs, because that makes you more versed in understanding what the job is. So when you're talking with them and you're further qualifying them and you can ask them a question, then it actually starts to, you start seeing some of the things that you're asking. So you're not necessarily blind in this. One of the last things I want to share with you before I open the line up for questions, before we end for the night, is as you're talking with builders, as you're talking with realtors or private homeowners or whomever you may be trying to contract with, you will get the question. They will ask you, well, how long have you been in the business? Well, it all depends on if you already have an established family business that's dealing with some type of some facet of real estate or construction, then I've been in the business as long as that's been established. Or if you work in a capacity in your day-to-day job in one of these fields, or managing property or managing tenants of properties, or you a secretary for a real estate company, then you have some years behind you in the facet in those areas. If not, if this is brand new to you as far as real estate and construction, then your answer could be, I manage a crew of individuals who have over 30, 40 years experience in this field. So you're not saying that you're not experienced, and you're not saying that you are experienced, but the answer to your question is basically a little different, if that makes sense. So let me say it again. For example, if the question was asked, well, Terry, how long have you been in the construction business? Well, I manage a crew of individuals who have over 40 years experience. And basically the 40 years experience is going to be all 50 guys who have applied with me. It's a total of all their years together, you know. So, and I'm not telling anything incorrectly, because the whole idea behind him questioning, if this individual that I'm contracting with needs my services, and if I'm contacting him at the critical time, he's not going to be so worried about all of the experience and the skills that I have, because if I have the available crew and a skilled crew to go and do the job that he needs, that's all that matters. But I have to have a conversation. So again, don't get leery if you get the questions and they're throwing them at you, and you're like, well, I don't have any experience in real estate. I don't have. But again, you will be well versed enough to talk the conversations. You don't have to touch not one hammer or nail, so you don't have to know the question that you're asking your laborers. You don't have to know those answers when you're talking with the builders, because you are the administrator of your labor force, putting them to work in this project that this person needs. So, again, just don't be intimidated by the questions that come by the in your conversation. And if it's a question that you do not feel comfortable asking, then you don't answer it. You basically just say, well, that's something I have to get back with you on. Or you control the conversation by you take hold of the conversation. So hopefully that helps. I know I've said a lot. I've put a lot out there. So I'm going to pause now to see if there's any questions or concerns or comments from anyone at this time.
Well, I want to say today's the first time I'm sure you've said it, but today's the first time it kind of stuck with me when you designated the different crews, how you said that, you know, it would be okay to just have a painting crew, a drywall crew, even a rent-ready crew, you know, I put down in my notes. That takes a little bit of the pressure off in trying to gather everyone, you know, which is what I would like to do, but specifying like that, it takes a little bit of the pressure off, and I'll be able to like earmark successes as I move forward, as I see this crew form or this crew form. That's exciting for me.
And that's very good that you said that, because again, like I stressed tonight, everything that you all do is at your own pace, and being able to determine whether or not you want to get all skill sets from every end of the construction spectrum and before I get started, if I want to do all that, or if I want to start with what I have. When I qualified my crew, and now I determine that I have a drywall crew, so I want to stay right there with that crew, and like you just stated, go ahead and start contracting for drywall and start getting those contracts. And the good thing about that is, because you know how to build an ad, place an ad, get responses, qualify, you just repeat the process all over again. So in the event all you have is a drywall crew, and you start working that crew and working that crew, and you start noticing that, there's other areas that I could actually start bidding in, then you go repeat the process of placing that ad and getting that other additional crew. And who's to say that your drywall crew, you don't have some framers or you have some roofers within those crews? So that was very good that you stated that you don't have to try to get the whole spectrum, because it's big. It's really big. I didn't even go through all the phases. I just went through a few. But the few that I went through, even if you didn't try to get all of them, but you concentrated on what you had, it's totally up to you how you build your crew. So just take that as a mental note. And it takes, like she stated, it takes some of the pressure off. You don't start trying to build goals for yourself that are unattainable. So it's at your own pace, your own goals. This is your business. So it's all yours. You do you at your pace. Is there anyone else? Any comments, concerns, or questions before I let you all go for the night? Well, I'd just like to say one of the things I mentioned earlier about networking, when I send out the emails and the recorded links, I do not send out email addresses for those who are attending the class. If you would like for your information to be shared with others, you could just reach back out to me and let me know. And the reason I say that is because that allows I wouldn't feel comfortable giving your information to someone else, but there may be someone who wants to talk to you, or you guys can actually communicate together, get information, bounce things off of each other. If that's something that you would like and you would like for your email to be shared, just let me know. When you receive the emails, you can just respond and say, you know, I'd like to be able to talk with others within the class, within the setting. Just let me know. But as of right now, I do not send out everybody's email, so that, and that's just out of concern, out of respect. Without your knowledge, I wouldn't want to be providing your information. But I would like for you all to be able to build a network where you can be able to communicate with each other. So just let me know if that is something that you would like to be able to reach back out to others within the class at any time. And like I always state, feel free to be able to call me, text me, email me with any questions or concerns that you have if you choose not to or want to be able to speak during the call. You can always talk to me off the call. So just for those who may not have it, the phone number where you can reach me is 919-213-9123. Well, we've got about 5 minutes, and unless there's any additional comments, concerns, or questions, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes back into your night. And like I said, just do a little Google searching out on the internet before you before you lay down tonight, just to kind of check out those different phases of the construction and building a house. And I guarantee you, once you see that and once you can put an image with those phases, as you're driving by these properties, that they'll look totally different to you. It's amazing. It's just a little learning tool, but it's very interesting, the things that you will be able to see differently. But this is going to be what helps you get into those areas in those critical stages when they're needing you and your business, so you can put your laborers to work. So until next time, I will say goodnight, and hopefully I'll hear from you guys between now and next Wednesday. If not, I will talk to you again on next Wednesday. Have a good night and be well.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.